you had stated to me earlier that you had during your career had been through, though not personally involved, in 5 military conflicts. With the way things are going now in the world, and the way it seems to be all these little third world country confrontations, example Vietnam, do you think there's possibly another Vietnam on the horizon?
Yes, but 10 times worse. We will end up in the very near future fighting an armed conflict with a militant third world country, or a couple of them. And the biggest fear is that there may be a chemical confrontation or poor man's nuclear weapon. Or another fear is that because the American public now puts a dollar price tag on everything. Values have a dollar price tag. Morality has a dollar price tag. What's right and wrong is weighed against, not what's right and wrong, but against what it costs. We are probably going to fight several small militant third world countries, or the American public will not let us go fight those conflicts, and those conflicts will expand to a larger region in the world somewhere and become a major conflict. The other scenario is, what's going to happen with China? Will China and the communism that China knows survive? Or will communism die in China like it did in Russia? Or will China have to be knocked down by military force?
Do you think things like what you were telling me about earlier that you had seen with the airlift that you observed, do you feel like things like that will have a consideration if you want to expand on it or not? Have a recourse as far as now as to some of the thought processes about us getting involved?
It depends on who's in the White House and who has control of the military. And it depends on what time period we are in the world. I'm really totally shocked and surprised that we got involved in the Persian Gulf. I'm surprised that the American public let us get involved in it. And if that thing hadn't been over in 100 hours of armed conflict, I think the United States as we know it today would be totally different. But you have to remember, in a small conflict, the Gulf War was not small. It was large in the total number of armed forces. But that war or conflict was not fought by the loss of human blood. That was one of the first technological wars ever fought. Long-range missiles, Tomahawk missiles, rockets, bombardments, tanks. That was a technical war. And if that thing had been drug out to where land need to have been taken, and the only way you take land is with the infantrymen, where you have a loss of life and blood, I don't think the American people would have allowed it. And if we ever get into that type of conflict, then is when we're going to find out where this country stands on right and wrong, values and morality.
I was very curious about something you had told me, or off tape, about an experience you observed. Did the story of that reach the American people as far as what happened with that airlift?
Well, what that was about was, in the majority of the armed forces were pulled out of Vietnam in January and February of 73. My father was over in Vietnam at that time and came back earlier than what was expected, so that's why I so vividly remember it. He'd only done a little bit more than half his tour. Now, this was in 73, in the early 73. In December of 73, I joined the military. But Vietnam did not officially end by presidential proclamation or congressional order until mid-75. But the majority of our armed forces were out of Vietnam, and we basically left the South Vietnamese on their own. But they couldn't do the job. Now, I'm not saying, my personal opinion if we were not or did not have the intention of winning the war, we had no business in there. If we're going to send armed forces and military people, Americans, to die, then you better have a reason for them dying, and you better not waste American lives. And to have an excess of 50,000 military people killed in Vietnam, not to count the civilians and children and etc., that is one of the grossest errors in our government's history. However, in 75, when Saigon fell, helicopters were being used to pull people off the American embassy and taken out to the Gulf in ships. But also at that same time period, there was a lot of mixed children, children of Vietnamese and American soldier combination. And they were in orphanages. Now, it was suspected that these babies would be killed because of they were not pure. They were not of a pure race. And you have to remember the or know something about the Orient and about family and bloodline, etc., in the Orient. But these children, probably a lot of them would have been killed. So they were put on airplanes and they had what was called a baby lift. Remember when I joined the military, I became later on a crew chief, not crew chief, but a loadmaster, qualified loadmaster for the C-130, 131, 140, and the newest aircraft, which was the C-58, the largest cargo aircraft in the military armed forces, or in the world at that time. The Russians have a larger one now. But this aircraft, the C-5A, was used for this baby lift. And upon takeoff from the airport, the rear doors opened up. And I believe, I may be wrong, but I believe something like 600 babies fell out of the rear doors of this aircraft while it was taken off and were scattered across the countryside.
Did that ever reach back to the American
government? I'm sure it did. But, I mean, what do you expect them to do about it? Go back into Vietnam? I mean, it was an aircraft accident. And aircraft accidents happen all the time.
I wonder, I mean, things like that tend to change. people that protest and things like that, that seems to give them fuel for what they're, for their protest. Do you?
The main idea was, the young people were objecting to Vietnam, and I feel that the majority of them were objecting to it because they didn't want to have to go. And if they can get it stopped, then they won't have to go. Now, a lot of them chose not to go and went on to Canada or Mexico or whatever, which is their choice. And I don't object to them making that choice as long as they're willing to pay the consequences of their choice and really, honestly believe in what they did. If a person believes that what they did was right, I do not object to their opinion. I may still have opinion that they're right or wrong, but I do not object to them having their opinion. We had no business in Vietnam, period. If we did have a business in Vietnam, if we were truly going to stop the spread of communism, then we should have gone in with everything we had and put a stop to it instead of fooling around at the cost of 50,000 American lives.
Is there anything else you'd like to add to this Russian enlightenment that you could give me over over everything that has been that you have seen in your past military career before your retirement?
The military is not what it used to be. You're starting to see the generation of the my generation in the military. And whether that is a passing phase that they will grow out of, I don't know. I sincerely hope so. Because an individual must have more to cling to than themselves. There must be more than the secular individual. The individual by themselves cannot survive. It may sound cornish, but you know, united we stand, divided we fall. But in America, everybody has their right to their opinion and to their own social beliefs, their own secular belonging. And everybody will draw to that which they feel comfortable with. I don't feel comfortable with the rich. I don't feel comfortable with the poor. I don't feel comfortable in big crowds. I don't feel comfortable being around a bunch of idiots. I don't feel comfortable being around a bunch of drunks. Although I had a lot of fun with a bunch of drunks in my younger days. So, this country has made a drastic improvement in a lot of areas and has led a lot of people down in other areas. But I don't think it's something that the government can fix. There are problems in society that, in conjunction with the religious organizations, family, and maybe some assistance, not intervention, but some assistance from the government, some of these social problems can be fixed. But too many social problems are weighed by the dollar cost versus the social cost. What is the consequences of not doing anything? What is the percentage of divorced parents? What is the percentage of kids committing crimes? Where is this country going to when we have 12-year-olds going to jail for murder? There is a social breakdown in this country, and the lack of responsibility, and I think that lack of responsibility is predominantly caused by the lack of hope. There's too many kids and too many people that have lost hope. Of course, there's also a great deal of them that feel that the government owes them something. The maddest people in the world are the ones that ain't got their social security check or their welfare check, excuse me, not social security, but their welfare check on the third of the month. But did they get off their butt and look for a job? Did they get a job? Did they hold that job? I don't know. But something has to be done to show and provide a hope for the younger generation.
I appreciate everything that you told me, and if there's anything else you'd like to add,
that'll be $1,000.